104 Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday. I neglected to mention it in the last segment, but I think it's important that on Monday we'll have State Representative Shane Stringer, Dell Jackson, and a guest to be named later. Probably going to pull someone else from the Alabama legislature since it's a Monday and just get caught up on the different endeavors underway now that session has started. Speaking of endeavors that are underway, always a pleasure to bring on the show's returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Great to be back in South Alabama after a very, very busy and long week in first week in Montgomery here for the legislative session.
Well, okay, kind of kick it off here. I don't know if you were there. I was, unfortunately. Governor, State of the State, any thoughts on it?
You know, she put down some interesting markers, I thought, on some pieces of legislation that are clearly priorities to her, but that just are still a little tenuous to me as far as whether or not passed. And so that's an interesting thing for her to do, but... you know, she's flexing big there. The question is just whether or not those things actually matriculate in the legislature.
Yeah, and just finding support. We'll start here, and this is one that I spoke to a group in Enterprise yesterday, but this listening audience, I hear it on the text line. It's remaking Veterans Affairs at the state level. How you feel about it? What do you make of it? I know over there, what was it? I think it was Carnley and Keith Kelly didn't vote for it out of committee, but here it is. How you feel about it?
Yeah, it's not something I'm in favor of, and not something I intend to vote for. Or as a student of the legislature, you know, not something I intend to vote on the budget isolation resolution for either. And so the numbers start getting really interesting on that. To see, you know, how does this move, you know, how does this move and how does the governor, you know, flex with members to get them to do something that, frankly, in my opinion, I do not think is in their political interest, right?
You hear a lot of happy talk from like Todd Stacey and your colleague Senator Jones, but I don't see it. I mean, it's hard to get people to care about these state politics and state issues. On this one, though, I'm getting blown up. And I for a while, I thought it was just kind of an anomaly for Mobile in this listing area. But, you know, kind of being around the state a little bit, there's a lot of objections to what the governor wants to do here.
Well, you're correct. And I've certainly heard from veterans that I know and trust and have known for a long time, long before the decade I've spent in politics now. And that this is not something that they think is a good idea. They see it as, you know, as very detrimental to veterans. And so I trust these guys and ladies too. And I'm not inclined to support something that I think is, that my veterans, that I represent and the veterans that I know well are telling me is not good for veterans. So that's an easy call for me. And I think, you know, a tough push for the governor, right? Listen, she's got a narrative, but at the end of the day, it's really hard to tell folks back home that are adamantly against this that, I'm gonna vote against you because I need to vote with the governor. That's a tough thing.
Another thing's kind of stunning, and I shouldn't be stunned by it, but I am. The $9.9 billion ETF, it's just the growth of these budgets. And the governor, I just were shrugging it off, but this is what we seem to do. What was your reaction to the bottom lines of the ETF and the general fund of the governor's proposals?
They're still huge. And I just don't see any efforts at trying to find any efficiency. I understand there's money. And frankly, we ought to spend the taxpayers' money that comes in, or give it back, and so we've done both of those things. But at the end of the day, I just don't see a lot of efforts, at least from the administration, on efficiency. That's something that the pro tem in the Senate has said and stated. Senator Gudger has said is a priority of his this year is to look at some government efficiency issues, and so we're gonna start doing that in the legislature. I'm hoping it'll start saving some money, and then maybe we can actually have the second penny fall off on the grocery tax, and maybe we can, you know, say, hey, there's plenty of money in order to keep this overtime tax exemption and things of that nature.
Well, I mean, a $9.9 billion budget proposal, and even if you go with the high end of, let's say, $300 million in overtime exemption, I think that's, you know, very, very high end. It's a drop in the bucket, and you're telling me on a percentage basis, just finding something that you can you could do away with. I mean, I don't know. Am I that far off base?
You're not. I mean, listen, it's like somebody, you know, standing on the corner wearing a fur and diamonds and begging for change. It doesn't compute. And so it's real hard to say we're gonna try to sunset a tax exemption while we're flush with cash. That those things don't go together.
All right, a question I have, and I do not understand it, but I'm getting blown up about it, and I just haven't taken the time to really look into the nuances. The whole issues with the, I mean, you got a few bills you're going to have to look at this year on this. These pharmacy benefit managers, these PBMs, and do you, I mean, what do you see? Is anything going to happen on that, or do you, or what do you believe? What do you think on that?
Yeah, there's a slew of healthcare related bills that really pit providers against really the insurance folks, and you know, we're going to have to wade through an awful lot of that. It is unpleasant. My goal there with, you know, with all of that legislation, whether it's, you know, the Alpha insurance bill versus the Blue Cross folks or these PBM issues or other things like that, is to make sure we don't mess anything up. Because when you start over regulating or really telling the market what to do, you really run the risk of causing big problems that, you know, me, a legislator who's not a health insurance, expert, didn't foresee. And so I want to make sure we go slowly and a little methodical with that. To that extent, we've got, you know, independent pharmacists that clearly are being, you know, reimbursed at lower than their cost. Well, that's not sustainable, right? And we want to make sure that the market can provide whatever kind of insurance it can provide, and that we are as free market as possible. But we also don't want to wake up in a year going into an election season to realize that some action we've taken has increased the cost of healthcare for 90% of our constituents by $200 or $300 a month. That would be awful. And so we got to be very careful about what we do, very methodical about what we do on these types of issues.
No, I'm kind of hitting you right, left here. Albritton's prison borrowing effort, and then I guess it's got to be done, but I don't know exactly the details, but I assume you guys, if you got to give a added borrowing capacity to build that Escambia County prison, are going to put some stipulations in place.
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up. And Senator Albritton and I've had a number of conversations about this. First of all, I think what he's talking about authorizing to borrow is more than what we will need in order to build the second prison. I think it's smart to go ahead and do that. Let's make sure we got enough. Now, whether or not those bonds are prison bonds, which we have trouble issuing in the market, right? Because folks don't want to fund prisons. We ran into that last time. And while we're not issuing general obligation bonds instead, is a question that needs to be answered. Also, we have got to get away from this design build stuff in the second iteration of these prisons. You and I have had long conversations about that. And so I am absolutely looking actively, frankly, with Chairman Albritton's support, at ways to make sure that in the second build, we use a design bid build process to get the best price for Alabamians. We don't want to spend more than we have to. But I'm fully supportive of spending the money on prisons. It's a core and a responsibility of government is public safety. This is where we need to spend money to lock bad guys up. And so let's definitely do that. Let's just do it in a way that's the best value for the taxpayer, both with bonds that have lower interest rates than just prison bonds alone, and making sure that our delivery method is one that is tried and true and not some experimental thing.
Cell phone ban in school, the governor's state of the state, she mentioned it. I think what Chesteen and Senate and Halsey in the House, if I'm not mistaken. But well, I guess I could go either way on it, but I see where maybe do we necessarily need a state law for a ban? But on the other hand, I mean, are we just giving principals cover to enforce some kind of law, some kind of order in their schools? I mean, what do you think of the state taking that up?
I've had the conversations. I started off saying this is a local control issue, and we just need to let local schools do what they need to do. And talking with some educators that I've heard, man, I really would be nice to have some cover from the state so that I can implement these policies. I don't have that yet, and I don't have that from my local school boards. While I know there are a number of places in Baldwin County that are doing this and especially have school board policies in certain places that are working well and that they have exercised that local control, I also know there are other places around the state that haven't done that, that won't do that for whatever reason. And so what happens? We have test scores that are lower. And so what happens? We end up pouring more money into these, you know, the institutions to try to figure out why they can't read and can't write and can't do math. And it might be because they got their cell phone in their hand. And so I got to figure out, you know, what the compromise therein is to allow as much local control as possible, but also give coverage to administrators that are trying to do what's right, which is focus on learning and not focus on TikTok and Instagram during the school day.
Maternity leave for teachers. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's not necessarily a part-time job. It's not a year-round job. Is it appropriate to do that? Or, I mean, I guess we're trying to be competitive with other states, but that just seems, I mean, that's not typically a Republican conservative sort of issue, is it?
And that was what I got out of that State of the State address was, I mean, sounds nice, but is that a conservative issue or is it a gimmick, you know? And so, you know, there was yet another one of those. I was kind of like, you know, I hear you. You've got a young family. I used to have a young family. They're growing up like crazy. And I remember those times when you had to worry about leave and you had to worry about, you know, who's taking care of whom, when, et cetera. And that's a tough thing to do. And so I get it. Also understand that you can, you know, sometimes plan those things, right? and make responsible choices about when you have children and fit that into your work schedule. And so there, you know, that doesn't always work, but sometimes it should, and you should probably plan on it. And so, you know, we have to look at cost of doing this and whether or not this is something we can afford or not. It certainly does feel good. I don't know that it does a whole lot to improve recruitment or something like that. People don't usually think that far ahead.
Second Chance Act, and I don't know what exactly this entails, but my understanding, Senator, it's hard to get in prison in Alabama. Like, you really had to screw up. And hearing that, I mean, how much harder do we want to make it for a criminal to be sent to prison? I don't know. I mean, am I wrong about that, or there's some slipping through the cracks here?
Look, I'm not familiar with that particular piece of legislation, but I already don't like the sound of it. As you pointed out, it is horrible. It is very difficult to get into prison. What's even more horrible is what I see day in, day out when we talk about crime, and that is criminals that are reoffending. And we see these folks that are out on the street, and they're known to law enforcement. They've been convicted before. They may or may not have gone to prison before, and here they are out again and recommitting crimes. You go to look at the sheriff's, you know, jail log, and you see this individual, oh, yeah, they were, you know, in prison here, they're in jail here, they're in jail here, they're out on bond here, et cetera, and it just keeps going. And so that concerns me and is frustrating.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was big enough to make the State of the State, so I guess to be determined. Let's talk about the Senate itself. You have a new pro tem. It's now official. You supported him the whole time. I mean, and despite, you know, what I have understood was some pressure tactics to swing votes. But Garland Gudger, how's he doing?
He's doing a fantastic job. I mean, I talk about exceeding expectations, and I had pretty high expectations for him, but hitting the ground running. He has got a great staff that's working well with members. You know, I had 11 bills in committee on Wednesday, worked closely with him and his staff to push conservative agendas. our entire immigration package went through committee on Wednesday. It is ready. Some of those bills pass the floor on Thursday. Some will pass next week. The rest will pass next week. We'll have that done and through in the first 2 weeks of session, which is incredible. You know, we've already pushed through Senator Weaver's What Is a Woman bill. We're firing on all cylinders for conservatives. And that is absolutely a testament to his leadership, his management, and getting things done.
Well, it's certainly kind of interesting to watch. What's the dynamic, though? You know my complaint about the Senate and how sometimes the floor can get, let's just say, taken away from the supermajority. Do you sense any of that, or is it just too early to tell what's going to happen?
I was actually thinking about you while I was standing at the mic on Thursday listening to Senator Smitherman explain the rules and how they are his tools and how he will use them, and how, you know, the mention of cloture requires him to do all kinds of other things. And so I thought it's a great conversation for Jeff to hear. Look, at the end of the day, our Senate rules are unchanged. There is a lot of power that each individual senator holds in order to slow things down, and slow things down so much so that you can stop them. Senator Gudger navigated that very well. Pro Tem Gudger navigated that very well on Thursday. We passed a bunch of bills that the Dems did not like. It took a little while to do it. They talked on them some. We went through the entire calendar. He was able to work through that without, you know, pushing the cloture button. And at the end of the day, that all went on. And so we'll see how that goes as it continues to, you know, as we continue to go through the session. But you hit the cloture button, which we may end up doing at some point. It will change the working environment and how things go, and it will probably curtail the amount of legislation we can pass. Remember, the Democrats are just that. They're Democrats. And so when we talk about getting things done, their goal is to stop us from getting things done.
That's fair, but they need to have a little healthy dose of fear every now and then. They act with impunity. And this is my gripe. As a constituent, they act with impunity sometimes, and they can just do whatever they want. We didn't elect Democrats in this state. We have a supermajority of Republicans, and it shouldn't be hijacked by two Democrats. I mean, fair enough, they're serving their constituents, and they're acting on their behalf. But they do kind of use it without the fear of any kind of, you do this, you're never going to get a bill through or whatever. We play ball with both sides.
We do. And so far, Senator Gudger is doing a very good job negotiating that. When you can put a calendar out and you can get through the calendar in a reasonable amount of time during the day, and especially when it has bills on it that the other side doesn't like, that's a win. Take it and move on. And so until that stops happening, then we don't have a problem. When we're not able to get through calendars and we're not able to push our agenda within a reasonable amount of time during the day, then there is time for concern.
So we're going to leave it there. We're way long, but thanks. I think it was a good segment. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much. Y'all have a great weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. But honey, now I